Good evening. Glad that you're here tonight. I want to add my word of welcome to visitors tonight. We appreciate very much that you're with us. We hope that you can come and join us at other times, and invite you to get a Bible and join with us as we now study from the Word of God. And if you have any questions about what we do, what we teach, then we want you to ask those questions. We'd be happy to receive them, and we just want to do God's will. We believe we can understand the Bible the way God gave it to us to be understood, that we can put our faith and trust in Him for our lives now and for the sure hope of eternity with God throughout the ages. If we will but put our faith in His Son and obey His will in all things. So if you're not a Christian tonight, we urge you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not asking you to join a denomination. We're not asking you to follow rules that a Church of Christ organization has written and set in place and demanded for acceptance into a Church of Christ denomination. No, not at all. But rather, we simply call upon you with the call of the gospel that's been made ever since the apostles of Jesus went out from Jerusalem with the message of the cross. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then act upon that faith tonight. Repent of your sins against God, for it is your sin that separates you, and it is your sin that will cause you to be lost from God forevermore. But if you'll repent in faith and confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized into Christ, the power of His blood will wash your sins away. This is the plan and purpose of God. It's so simple and easy to understand, and yet it demands all that you are, all that you have, and all that you will be. And so we urge you to make that decision, see that commitment, and make it tonight and become a Christian. Be saved through the power of Christ. Let Him add you to His church, the body of the saved, the redeemed, the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, that you might live in fellowship with Him and with the Father now and throughout eternity. If you're a Christian and if there's sin that has intruded into your heart and life, understand and know that we cannot ignore it. We cannot act as if it does not have an effect upon our soul salvation. It does. And we need to repent of every sin. We need to confess it as God's people to Him in prayer. With repentant hearts, He will forgive. 1 John 1 and verse 9. We want to help accomplish that. If that's your need this evening, and we all have the need to give earnest and careful attention to the Word of God at this time, with reverent hearts and minds to consider whether these things are so. And as we prayed at the very beginning with Brother James, we want to be careful that what we say is from the Word of God, and if it's not, we want to correct it. But if it is, then we want to urge and compel each of us to be persuaded to obey the will of God and live right in His sight. This evening, we want to talk some from God's Word about miracles and the so-called scientific explanations that are often given to try to explain them. And one of the reasons that we chose Psalm the 14th chapter for our reading is due to the fact that it describes the mindset and the conduct of those who have pushed God out of their thinking, out of their minds, out of their considerations, not only for themselves, but for how they treat those around them. And yet, nevertheless, it says it is the fool who says there is no God. And the reason being, there is ample evidence to support the premise that there is a God who created this universe, who sustains it by His power, who has spoken a word and revealed Himself in His Son. There is evidence for all that we build our faith upon that message of truth, and for one to reject and have no room in their heart for a knowledge of God and for the obedience of the will of God in their lives is a foolish course to take. And so, unfortunately, though, that is what happens and is happening a lot of times when people try to give a natural explanation and call it a scientific explanation to the miracles of the Bible. It is the skeptic, it is the unbeliever who would try to pit science against the Bible and say that those miracles couldn't have happened because in their way of thinking, they say there's a natural explanation. But you see, at the very heart and definition of a miracle is the suspending of those natural rules, those natural forces and powers, so as there is the introduction of the supernatural into this world. And so we will not be capable of giving a natural explanation to a supernatural event. Explain how, saved by the power of God, that one is raised from the dead. Now again, I know the skeptic says, well, that doesn't happen. And yet, nevertheless, we can go to multiple evidences in the Bible to show that has happened. In fact, in the last great day, it will happen for us all. Well, it will happen by the power of God. And our faith rests upon that. And the evidences we have to conclude that there is a power that's beyond this natural world, and that it is God's power, and such things are attributed to it. In John 11, just as an illustration of what we're suggesting, that there are ample evidences to accept the miracles of the Bible, we might be reminded that even in the day of Jesus, when He raised Lazarus from the dead, as the Bible says, this is no myth, this was something that even His enemies acknowledged happened. Now, many of the Jews who had come to Mary, that is Lazarus' sister, and had seen the things Jesus did, believed in Him. They knew Lazarus had been dead in the grave, in the tomb for 4 days, and now he is alive. They saw what Jesus did, and they believed in Him. The evidence was presented, and their conclusion was to put their faith in Him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. So some go and tell the Pharisees He raised Lazarus from the dead. And the chief priests and the Pharisees, of course, they're the ones who want to kill Jesus, gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs." So their explanation was not some natural, well, he swooned, they just thought he was dead, and he revived. No, they knew what he had done. They just hardened themselves against it and set about to murder him. Again, in Acts 4th chapter, verse 16, when Peter and John healed a lame man, all knew that he was lame. He was over 40 years old. They all knew who he was there at the gate, the beautiful gate of the temple. And in chapter 4 and 16, the Sanhedrin council says, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." We can't deny it. And you see, in effect, to try to give a so-called scientific explanation, a natural explanation to the miracles of God is truly a denial that is not sustainable. It cannot be sustained. The explanations become more fantastic than to put our simple faith and trust in an Almighty God who created and sustained this world and who has put His hand, His power to work in this world from time to time to accomplish His purposes in a miraculous way, and a record of that being given to us in the Bible. We'll illustrate that as we go through our study here in just a moment. The word science means to know. And to have a knowledge. And it is in many respects the quest of knowledge to obtain an understanding of the natural world. Now, humanism, the idea that man is the center of this world, really is based upon naturalism, of course. That there's no God. That everything can be understood from a natural point of view. Really it views science as the truth that interprets everything using this template of naturalism. That whatever's going on, whatever has occurred, whatever will occur, it's all going to be explained and all can be understood in natural terms. Well, in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 3 and 4, Peter, the apostle, who himself was an unlearned and ignorant man. I mean, he would not be elevated to a standard of credibility these days. You know, the world is accredits centers of learning. You know, men
give accreditation to say when you go to this school and you get their diploma, then it's accredited. So we'll recognize that as a valid education. And you may go over here to another school, and if they don't meet man's accreditation standards, then well, they're, you know, that's a substandard education. Well, that's man, you know, commending man ultimately and finally. That's really what that is, you know.
Now, of course, in turn, then men are going to say, well, you've got to meet our accreditation before we're going to recognize your degree and this and that and so forth. And all that amounts to is the wisdom of men, just building up the wisdom of men. Fact of the matter is, Peter and John and the apostles, they wouldn't rise to meet the accreditation standards of the world these days. They didn't go to any seminary. They don't have some PhD, some doctor of theology after their name. They were unlearned and ignorant men, Acts 4 says. Of course, that was the same place where it says there's been a notable miracle and we can't deny it. What are we going to do? So they threatened them. Well, my point being that same Peter who, by the power of God, worked a miracle on that day. In 2 Peter 3, he wrote in verse 3 and 4, knowing this, that there are scoffers that will come in the last days walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's really what the naturalist says. Everything has always continued as it always has been. Everything's a constant. There have been no cataclysms. There have been no miracles. There's been no intervening into the natural world by the supernatural. And so they try to explain everything, even all the way back to our origin, on the basis of organic evolution, or inorganic evolution, be as it may, in their attempt to define this world and define themselves. And most people take the bait. Most people accept that. Most people say, well, surely it's got to be right. Those are the learned men. Well, we'll illustrate some of that a little bit too in just a moment. But now, let me give an illustration of what we're talking about. And this is really how this study came up. Someone a while back shared some information with me. Not sure who. It was in the question box, and I appreciate it. But it had to do with so-called the scientific explanations that are being offered for the 10 plagues. I understand there's evidently some movie out called The Reaping with Hilary Swank in it, and she's evidently in this miracle. She's an ordained minister who lost her faith. And now she's going to give natural explanations of all the miracles. She's going to reject all the supernatural, evidently, as part of the line of the movie. I don't know, I haven't seen it, but that's what has been explained to me. And in the course of this movie, explanation was given about the 10 plagues. Now this is not just something dreamed up by movie writers. There's one theory that, you know, the real reason that the Nile turned red, you know, when the Bible says that Moses, the rod was put into the river and it turned red. They said, no, really what happened was 1,000 miles to the north, there's a volcanic activity up on an island called Santorini. It's one of the Greek isles. And there's a big volcanic eruption up there and that somehow or another affected the Nile 1,000 miles south, and you know, some fantastic explanation that says, well, that's really why it was red. Well, let me share with you what else was on. Evidently, you know how DVDs, they have these extras. Well, evidently they had an extra on here, or maybe this wasn't an extra. Actually, this is part of the movie. This quote was given to me as in this movie, this so-called scientific explanation of the plagues. In 1400 B.C., a group of nervous Egyptians saw the Nile turn red. But what they thought was blood was actually an algae bloom, which killed the fish, which prior to that had been living off the eggs of frogs. Those uneaten eggs turned into record numbers of baby frogs who subsequently fled to the land and died. Their little rotting frog bodies attracted lice and flies. And so the lice carried the blue tongue virus, which killed 70% of Egypt's livestock, and the flies carried Langer's, I'm not sure what that is, a bacterial infection, which in humans causes boils. Okay, so we got the lice and the flies, we got the murine of cattle, and we got boils, and soon after that, when that Nile River Valley was hit with a 3-day sandstorm, otherwise known as the plague of darkness. Of course, now they get a little turned around, because that's not when the plague of darkness came, but let's don't get confused with the details. During the sandstorm, intense heat combined with an approaching cold front to create not only hail but also electrical storms, which would have looked in the ancient Egyptians like fire from the sky. Because, you know, they couldn't tell the difference between lightning and fire. They're just ignorant Egyptians. Okay? The subsequent wind would have blown the Egyptian locust population off course and right into downtown Cairo. Hail is wet and locusts leave droppings. And you spread both of those on your grain, and then you've got mycotoxins. And dinner time in ancient Egypt would mean that the firstborn child would get the biggest portion, which in that case meant he'd eat the most toxins, so he died. It just wasn't quite enough for that second and thirdborn, but every firstborn child, they got the toxins and they died. And thus you have 10 plagues equaling 10 scientific explanations. You know what my answer to that is? Wow, it must be true. Science said so. Wow, what faith? Blind faith, leap in the dark.
Amen.
Wow. And that passes for science. That passes for credibility. That passes for our centers of learning that our children go to. That the world says, you've got to accept our learning or we won't acknowledge or accept you. Now, that's just the starting point. You see, the fact of the matter is, there is not a contradiction between what the Bible says and genuine knowledge. But man's science, as we're going to see in just a moment, leaves and always will leave something to be desired. And if we put our faith in the wisdom of man, in the knowledge acquisition of man, then we are fools. We are fools when it comes to putting our trust and confidence of the eternal outcome of our souls. We put it into something like that and say, there's no God, based on nonsense like that. That's just foolishness gone to seed. And people accept it. But they accept it, you see, because they've already given up the proposition that there's a God. They've already given up the view that they are answerable to a God and that their life is lived before an Almighty. More of that as we go through our study. So, you see, science is the quest for human knowledge of the world and how it operates. So it seeks for origins. It studies the causes and the effects. It looks for why things occur in the body, in the planets, in the stars. It studies the physical world and the so-called laws of nature, how the forces of nature work and interact. Only question is, ultimately and finally, where did all those things come from? Where did all those forces originate? Where did this universe originate? Science offers us that we go all the way back, you know, all the way back into 20 billion years into some kind of cataclysmic beginning. The matter is not eternal. It's going to have to have some origin. Of course, they want to... That's where some of the problems start coming, you see, because matter is going to have to be eternal for human science to win the day. The fact of the matter is, the Bible now is a revelation from the God who made this world that explains to us, as He's chosen to explain to us, how it began. By His Word, by His power. That He is the cause. He has purposes for this world. You know, and it's not that we have to make a choice of either science or the Bible. We have to first choose what will be the foundation of our understanding. Will it be
simply and merely the natural world, if that's what we choose, there are consequences to that. And that's going to be our study tonight. On the other hand, if we choose the Bible, then there are consequences to that. And as we said a minute ago, I'll reiterate, it's not a one or the other. It's that if we will accept the truth based upon the legitimate evidence that there is a God, then science will need to be considered under that tenet, under that paradigm, if you will. Now, let's see what we're talking about. Science changes as time goes by. Men increase their understanding, their knowledge. Bible, on the other hand, as a source of truth, does not change. God has given a message that is inerrant and complete. And so whereas science is changing based upon the acquisition of knowledge, the Bible remains constant. God's revelation remains constant. Now, let me illustrate what I'm talking about. First, and by the way, just as a foundation of the thought, 1 Timothy 6 and 20 talks about knowledge. He says, "O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and vain babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge." I'd say that probably would illustrate that scientific theory of the Egyptian plagues, or explanation of the plague babblings, called science, called knowledge. But there certainly can be false science, can't there? Ptolemy lived in the 2nd century, and I'm no scientist, but basically he set forth, he's a philosopher, he basically set forth that the earth is the center of everything. That the sun revolves around the earth. By the way, I think too, probably thought the world was flat. You know, that's why Columbus, don't go, you'll fall off the edge of the world. Now, science has changed. Because now we know, nobody accepts the Ptolemaic system as an accurate understanding of the world. No, the Copernican system, that the earth revolves around the sun, and so forth. Now, I simply illustrate, that's been true all along. Now, the truth of the matter didn't change, but man's understanding, man's knowledge of it changed. And the fact is now, truth doesn't change. God has revealed truth, and when He said, by His power, and His commandment, the Nile ran red. That's the truth of the matter. Men can come along and offer their natural explanations, but that doesn't change the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter, as the Bible records, in Exodus 7:20, Moses and Aaron did so just as the Lord commanded. That is, they took the pitchers and all the water and so forth, lifted up the rod, struck the water that were in the river, and the sight of Pharaoh, the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Not turned to an algae bloom, not turned to a secondary effect of volcanic activity 1,000 miles away, but by the command of God, the water turned into blood. Now, that's not natural. And again, Moses was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He had been instructed in the knowledge of the Egyptians, but you know what the knowledge of the Egyptians consisted of in part? They thought the world came from a flying egg. They also said man came from little white worms that were in the Nile. That's where men came from, those little worms in the Nile. You don't read any of that in Moses, do you? See, Moses, who was schooled in all the Egyptian knowledge and wisdom, said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
and from the dust formed the body and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now that's what's set before us. And when men try to give natural explanations, call it science, and reject the supernatural, there are some inescapable conclusions. Let's look at those for just a few minutes here. Of course, the fundamental conclusion that cannot be escaped is it's a denial and rejection of God to do that. To try to, you know, every December we hear the explanations about the Christmas star, don't we? Yeah, somebody's gonna explain about that. Or say and don't get me started on that, except to say, you know, again, trying to explain what was clearly a miracle. What was clearly being, and yet that's what happens when people set aside God. They come with all of these what they think are plausible scientific explanations, which really are just speculations. Just speculations. Romans, the first chapter, 18 and following there, familiar passage, you're probably acquainted with it. Paul writes that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth or hinder the truth in unrighteousness. You see, these kinds of explanations of, like, say, the 10 plagues, what that does is suppress the truth of the matter. People go to the movies, impressionable minds hear that, impressionable minds go to the schools of higher learning, and they receive this nonsense, call it knowledge, call it science, call it fact and truth, and the real truth is suppressed. It's hindered. And God's wrath is revealed against that. We need to understand that to do that brings one under the wrath of God. Now, he says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. God has shown us of His power and His Godhead in the creation, verse 20. The invisible things of Him, His power, is seen in the created world. But men reject that evidence, and by doing so fall under His wrath, suppress truth, advance unrighteousness, and consequently their foolish hearts are darkened, to verse 21. Bible, on the other hand, you see, the Bible says God said, let there be light. And it was so. Psalm 33:6-9 speaks of it by the word of God. God commanded and it stood fast. God gave His word, and that was enough. God just had to say a word, and this whole universe, day by day, came into existence and ordered it, shaped it as He said, not as man, who tries to provide a natural explanation of processes, says it happened. You know, we got some brethren trying to make same efforts, trying to give natural explanations to the supernatural, rather than accept the revelation of the Word of God. Of God said, and it was so, and the evening and the morning was the first day, and the second day through the sixth day. They want to try to fit in natural processes, natural explanation, an evolution explanation, which they say took from anywhere from 14 to 20 billion years. Now, we got a choice between what man's wisdom and science says and what the Bible says. Which one are we going to accept and not suppress truth? Which one must we yield to and not fall under the wrath of God? See, if we're going to say, well, science has the answer, then we've elevated human knowledge and we have rejected God. We refuse to have God in our knowledge, Romans 1:28, and we fall under wrath when we do that. See, when miracles are, of the Bible are rejected for natural explanations, then we necessarily deny the deity of Jesus. You cannot say the miracles of the Bible are just mythological, just made up stories, and then turn around and say Jesus is the Son of God. No, because see, Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is God with us, Emmanuel. That He's the Creator, in fact. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that's been made. So God, Jesus, the Son, is fully participating in the creation of the God said, let there be light, and so forth. Not only that, Colossians 1 and 16 says that the Son of God holds this universe together through His power. It says, He is in verse 17, I have 16 on there, but you should, 16 says all things were created through Him and for Him. But verse 17 then says, He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. In Him all things hold together. So here's science over here studying the physical laws. And here is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, holding all those things together. When the scientist is studying those laws, he is studying how it is that divine power is holding this universe together. But you see, when he ignores that and just says all that just happened naturally, necessarily he has to deny Jesus as well. He has to say, He's not God. Oh, He may be a good philosopher. He may be a historical figure. He lived, but He's not the Son of God, they have to say. And here is something that until there is no more time, something that science and the wisdom of man will not be able to successfully deal with. And that is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The tomb was empty. It was empty. The enemies knew it was empty and they spread a lie. If they had the body, they could have presented it and ended the whole scandal. They didn't have the body. They didn't know where it was. They spread a lie that the apostles took it. So this disorganized, disheartened group overwhelmed the Roman soldiers who were trained and professional. Yeah, I expect me and Brad, we could take on about 6 or 8 special forces, no problem. We could do that. That's about what we're talking about at the tomb of Jesus. This band of fishermen and so forth. It's absurd. Just another explanation, theory of those who rejected God and the Word of God. Now, can they able to answer? They don't answer that. They can't answer that. And that, of course, I pushed that button too soon. That didn't even deal with the hundreds and hundreds of witnesses, eyewitnesses, who saw the resurrected Christ. You might find one or two to give the same story, but 500 at one time? You see, that just, they're not going to be able to answer that. And they reject Jesus because they know to accept Him as who He said He was is to accept the rest of the miracles. And they're not going to do that because they've given themselves over to the foolishness of the wisdom of men. Science and the Bible. Deny. When you deny the miracles, you deny the inspired Word of God. The Bible cannot be verbally inspired if you reject the miracles of it. If you say that they just amount to stories, to fiction, to myths, to cultural fables that were handed down, then you give up forever. Of course, that it really just illustrates that you've already rejected the Bible as the inspired Word of God. You know, inspiration is not that God gave men some thoughts and let them write in their own, just write whatever thoughts they had. That's not inspiration. That's the way that most people think about inspiration. Even if they want to say the Bible's inspired, most people think, well, what that means is God gave Paul some ideas, and then he wrote those ideas down in the way he saw it. And John did the same, Matthew and so on. That's not inspiration in the Bible. In the Bible, God's inspiration was that He put the words upon their tongues and they spoke it. He gave them the words to write and they wrote it. Zechariah 7 and verse 12 is an illustration of the point about Israel when it says, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words. which the Lord of hosts has sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Not that they didn't hear the thoughts that God sent by His Spirit through the prophet. The words that God sent by His Spirit through the prophets. Paul said, the things that I write are the commandment of the Lord. See, but when someone says the miracles are just, there's natural explanation, we can explain them all naturally, then they've just shown that they reject the Bible as the Word of God. See, the science can never explain the evidence for the inspiration of the Bible, the unity of the Bible, the harmony of the Bible, the fulfilled prophecies given hundreds and hundreds of years before that could not be set down and say, well, I'm going to manipulate the circumstance of my life so I can fulfill that prophecy. You know, that's what's said, that's what's alleged, but how could Jesus have done that about where He was born? And about the one to whom He was born? See, when men try to explain away the miracles, it's because they've already rejected God. They've already rejected Jesus. They've already rejected the Bible as the Word of God. Now, where do we stand in that? See, where are we in all that? There's a place for science. But science is not going to explain the supernatural. It's going to take the God who had the power to make this world to reveal His mind to us, and He's shown us His power in the creation, and He explains in His Word that by His Word He made it all, and He holds it together, and He's revealed a Word to us so that we can know Him and know His will for us, and so that we can live in harmony with Him. And that's the next point that has to be seen, is when you reject the miracles of the Bible, you ultimately are denying sin and salvation. See, the Bible talks to us, teaches us about the origin of sin. It shows us the results of sin. And it shows that we're all sinners. It explains sin to us. And where we stand before God. It talks to us about death, the consequence of sin. Not just the consequence of physical death, but I die spiritually. I'm separated from God. From the blessings of God. From eternal life with God. Genesis 3. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. And it was through the introduction of sin, through their disobedience to God, that they are separated from His blessings. And thus begins the story of how God redeems sinners. The Bible is the explanation of how God redeems sinners. So that we can live with Him, be brought to glory. Now, so it tells us about the Savior. These are things that science can never explain. But you see, it's the very miracles of Jesus that testify that He is that Savior. That He is the one that God sent to redeem us, to save us from sin and death. In John 10 and 25, the opponents of Jesus are there challenging Him, and He answered them and said, I told you who I am, is what He's saying. They said, how long are you going to keep it from us? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered and said, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me. The works I do, bear witness, testify. See, He's talking about the miracles I do. The raising of Lazarus from the dead, testify that the Father has sent Me. Testify that I am the Son of God. John 20, 30 and 31. These miracles are written, these signs are written, that you may believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So, the Bible is a source of information, an inspired source, a divine source that teaches about what sin has done to us and what God has done so we can be redeemed from our sin. Saved from it. And the miracles of the Bible confirm. They are evidence, they are testimony that bears to the truth of these things. Now, science, on the other hand, is never going to explain, and that shouldn't be that. That was the other chart. what that should say is science is not going to is not able to explain the origin of the human conscience. Science can't explain where our conscience came from. How did your conscience evolve from an animal that has no conscience? How does that work? You see, science can't explain that. Can't give us a natural explanation of that. Because, you see, we've been created in the image of our Creator. And immortal. In a way that's different and distinct from animal. You are more than an animal. You're more than a collection of chemicals and biological processes. You have an immortal soul. I'm getting ahead of myself. The fact is, science cannot answer the issue of the shame of sin and the guilt of sin. How's that? Where does that fit into the evolutionary processes? Why did man evolve guilt and shame? I don't know. They're going to offer you an explanation. But you say, they can't answer to the truth of the issue because, you see, here's what humanism says and what this whole concept says is that no deity is going to save us. We must save ourselves. That's from the Humanist Manifesto 1 and 2. It was written, first of all, in 1933 and again, I believe, in 1973. The second one was written and now, as late as this century, a third one has been written. Oh, by the way, one of the signatories on the third manifesto, I know you recognize this name, Oliver Stone. He signed this Humanist Manifesto. Lester Mondale, that's the father of Walter Mondale. I don't know if all of you remember, was he vice president? This is at the heart of our educational system in America and the whole philosophy that pushes God out and says there is no God. See, it denies sin. It denies salvation. And so now we have people living like animals because they've been taught that's all they are. It rejects the evidence that ought to persuade us that there is a God who calls us to repent because we've sinned against Him. And He's going to judge us one day. Science can't speak to those. Doesn't want to speak to those. Doesn't try to speak to those. But you see, there's the deficiency of science. That we cannot put our trust in it when it comes to our standing before Almighty God. Well, again, to reject the Bible's miracles denies the need for personal faith in God. It's because the Bible it says that personal faith in God is necessary. That faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and that we must have faith to be saved from our sins and please God. Of course, the naturalist says there's no God, there's no sin, there's no salvation, there's no faith. No need for any of that. Save yourself. You see, salvation to the humanist is not the salvation of the soul. No, it's the elevating of humankind. In merely this world perspective and context. You reject the miracles. What you're doing is rejecting any need for personal faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please our Maker. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, we cannot be saved by God's grace. Ephesians 2, 8-9. So, science rejects the need for faith. Now, I want you to go back to 1 Timothy 6 that we read a minute ago and look at the next verse of that epistle when it says that some... he says to avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. You see, when there are those who profess the false knowledge, who profess the science as truth, and by doing that, stray from the faith. By rejecting faith in the true God,
They put their faith in the wisdom and knowledge that men organize and propagate.
Something that, again, you're just never going to be able to put a firm faith in. Nevertheless, by doing that, you see, faith is rejected, souls are destroyed.
Science says believe in yourself, really. Believe in the natural processes, not in God.
Well, finally, you reject the miracles and it means you deny the soul. You ultimately deny you have a soul. You deny eternity because there are things of this natural world. And yet it's the Bible that answers the yearnings of the human heart. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Science says you evolved from an amoeba, from a single cell, billions of years ago. The Bible says you're made in the image of God. That you've been given a plan and purpose here on earth and for eternity. That your purpose here primarily is to fear God and keep His commandments, to serve Him. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Science, on the other hand, says you've just evolved. You're only physical. You're only flesh. You don't have an immortal soul. There's no heaven. There's no hell. You die and that's all of it. So, make the most of it now. Because that's all there is. The Bible says, this is just a starting point. This is just a starting point for eternity. And so, the choice really before us is, what evidence is more credible? This world exists. Where did it come from? You exist. Why are you here? Why are you different than the animals that you have as a pet, or that you eat for food, or the plants that you consume? Why are you different? What made you different? See, there's something more to you than just the flesh. You're made in the image of God as well. An immortal soul that will not cease to exist. And you answer to that Creator. And I answer to Him. We all answer to Him with how we live in the flesh. And stand before Him in the day of judgment. See, man's knowledge must be directed by divine revelation and tempered by true faith in God. Or we truly have gone mad. What is more reasonable? To accept the so-called scientific explanation of the plagues, or to read the Bible, to understand there's a God in heaven who has power over heaven and earth, who has a purpose for man, and by His great power He intervened to accomplish those purposes and to bring a judgment upon Egypt. See, those who reject God will say, no, it's just all natural. See, we know that we cannot lean on our own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding, Proverbs 3 says. Let's close by reading that entire verse. The Father says to the Son, here's wisdom. So wisdom is not found in the halls of academia. Wisdom is found in the revelation of Almighty God, in His Word and His will for our lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's the problem with man and his so-called scientific explanations of the miracles of the Bible that explain them away, distort them, and refute them, is that man refuses to acknowledge God, refuses to submit and yield to let God direct all of his path, all of our steps. We must not be among that number. We must rather yield to God, trust Him in all of our ways, acknowledge Him, follow His word and will. He'll bless us now and eternally. It begins by becoming a Christian. It begins with faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that He did walk on water, that He did raise the dead. I've got to say this. Yeah, but you know that Chris Angel, mind freak, he walks on water. He floats from one building to another. Why, Jesus is just a master magician. Okay, let's bring old mind freak over here. Let's take him out to the graveyard and let him raise the dead.
Better yet, let's kill him and wait for him to raise himself from the dead. Let's do that. Now, we should not be so gullible as to think that that's not illusions that men have devised. I can't explain. I'm not trying to explain it. But I know one thing. It has a natural explanation. And it's not like the miracles of the Bible. Not in any way. And until he can come and raise the dead, or take that blind person and give him sight, then I'll understand him for what he is, a showman, a magician, an illusionist. But in no way, the Son of Almighty God. Who are we going to believe? You see, the devil's a master deceiver. We better remember that. We better remember that and not let those sorts of things shake our faith in the least. Because there's a God who has power over all of those illusions that men purport. Simon the Sorcerer would be a good study for somebody in that respect. But our time's out. I appreciate your attention to the study this evening. If you want to study more about it, talk more about it, be happy to do that. And in the meantime, what's most important right now is that you get right with God in your life. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel tonight. There's every reason to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and His miracles stand as testimony that such is true. We urge you tonight in faith to repent of your sins before God. Obey Jesus. Be baptized for remission of your sins. He will save you from your sins. He'll add you to His church. You'll live as a Christian with the hope of heaven as you live faithfully to Him all the days of your life. If you're a Christian and need to repent of sin, do that now. We'll pray together. God will hear and God will forgive while we stand.